Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, December 9th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. It is great to be here.
I'm super excited to have you here today. You are all fired up on a number of topics, and that always makes for a good show. And what makes a great show is when John is on with my other panelist, Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Greetings, Earthlings.
Excellent. I'm very glad to have you both here. Charlotte, I'm actually going to start with you. We are going to talk a little bit about...
What have I done?
Well, no, we're going to talk about mail clients.
Because this started
a whole conversation because a shiny new mail client has caught your eye and you're using something that you weren't using before.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of your fault.
Great.
Cool. So basically what happened is I got fed up of some things that I wanted to work in Mac Mail, not working in Mac Mail.
That happens.
And then I was like, Kelly, you use Spark, don't you? And you were like, yeah.
Yes, I do.
So I downloaded it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty and shiny.
Mm-hmm.
And it works.
It works super well.
And it's really easy to set up.
I use it for more than one email address. And I use it for some G Suite. I have a G Suite address I use it for. And I have a non-G Suite address that I use it for. It works just the same for both of them. And I like it a lot. And now Charlotte and I, because we both have email addresses at MacObserver.com, can use the Teams features. I think Adam Christensen uses those as well. And uses it as well because he and I have gone back and forth a couple times just to sort of try out like the team collaboration stuff that they have in there. And some of that is kind of fun. And it's nice to have some of the,
So what I liked about it, so like you, a lot of my work and personal business accounts are based around Gmail and G Suite. And Mac Mail does kind of work with it. It's not complicated to set it up on Mac Mail, but the interface is meh. Like, it's a bit meh.
Yeah.
And there's some other bits that I don't like that didn't work. For example... Some of like signatures don't always come out how you want them to, particularly if there's a graphic or something in the signature. And things like that were starting to bother me. So I've started playing with Spark and actually it seems to fix many of the things that were irritating me. So that's good. And I've deleted Mac Mail, Apple Mail off my iPhone.
Oh.
And I'm going to be setting it just, you know, you can always re-download it. But
that's true.
I don't need multiple mail clients.
Oh, see, I totally do.
Well, sorry, I do. And I'll come on to that in a minute. But on my Mac, I'm just going to start using that for a bit and see what happens. And it's so far, I'm pretty happy with it. My first impressions are it's a nice interface. I did the Mac version first and then moved to the iPhone version. And I basically didn't have to do much at all. It knew who I was. I pressed I think I put in one email address and password and everything was there exactly how I wanted it.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing that I like best about Spark Mail is the customization available.
Right.
There's like short swipe and long swipe and there's the swipe the other direction and you can control what they do. So if it's not natural to, if you keep marking things unread when you mean to delete them, just change the behavior, you know, go into preferences and you can change that button to be something different. And it's really nice to have it sort of work how you want it to work. And because I can do that, it's very easy for me to triage my email like that. I don't need that. I don't care about this. I care about and I'll get back to you later. This I need to forward Charlotte, whatever it is, like bouncing that stuff out and, you know, whacking it down to the stuff that I actually need to pay attention to is really nice. Now, John,
you said a very interesting thing.
Yes.
Triage.
Yes.
Yes.
Long ago, I was involved in this discussion about zero inbox versus inbox as your database.
Yes.
And I went for the database route.
Ooh.
I delete stuff that I don't need. But my inbox is my database, and it's searchable.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out to be a very handy thing for me.
Well,
so I do not try to zero out my inbox like some people do.
It used to be that that was the only thing that you could search, or you had to know what folder you were using. And searches in every email client, it doesn't matter which one you're using, searching all of them has gotten way better. And like the whole point of Gmail, at least initially, was you can search everything. Take it out of your inbox and just put it in, file it in the archive. And you can search everything.
I just found the swipe thing.
And it's great, isn't it?
It looks really good.
It's very good.
Sorry, carry on. This is exciting. Don't mind me.
I have one small nitpick with Spark right now because they've just released a new update that had a bunch of changes. And most of them are great. But there's one I don't like, which is every time I open it, it's not where I left it. Because I like to look at one account at a time instead of all of them at once. And it doesn't, if I'm in one account and I come back later and want to look at that same account, it's back to all inboxes. And I don't want that. So
I quite like having all my email in one place.
Sometimes I do.
Liking.
But initially, like sometimes I want, like I just want to see this email address so that I can, work through all of that. So,
yeah, what is the deal with Spark in terms of the expected longevity, the financial support, the probability of being sold?
Of Spark?
Yeah. Who makes it? What's the story? Because I'm allergic to mail programs that come and go and leave me orphaned. And
I understand completely. Like well, okay. Spark is Spark comes from Readdle, Readdle. They do PDF. They have a PDF app that's really great, and I don't want to get the name wrong.
So is it like a one guy in a basement, or is it
no? They're a team.
Good-sized team.
No, they're a team. Yeah. They've been a team for a while. They're quite a big team. I've met a number of them. I'm friends with a guy that does some of their design. They have, PDF Expert is their app.
Is the Spark free or is it for sale?
Spark is
sale?
Totally free. There's no ads in it or anything.
Ooh, that's a bad idea.
Well, no, you pay. They have other apps that you pay for.
As a sort of enticement to come into the family.
Yeah, like you can use Spark with PDF Expert, and PDF Expert is also free. But if you want to do more industrial strength work with PDF, with your PDFs, then you have to pay for it.
That would really worry me. A small company giving away an email app.
They're not a small company.
That kind of thing
been around.
Typically concerns me.
Well, yeah, and I understand that. They've been around for a long time. I want to say I met somebody from Readdle at Macworld in like 2008.
So they've been around a long time.
They've been around I remember them going back like really, really far because they made one of the first really good scanner apps so that you could use your phone camera as a document scanner.
Which you no longer need to do Readdle. Because if you check out macobserver.com, I've written two tips and a video about how you can use the scan tool in your iPhone with iOS 13. Cool. Check that out. Should I tell you the one thing I'm not liking about Spark?
This commercial break has been brought to you by, Charlotte Henry.
That is correct.
John, they've been around a long time. They make other apps. They do other things. And they have other ways that they are making money. They're legit. They're not going away. They're not going to get snapped up by some other company. Called Documents, which is a really good, which used to be a really great way to manage files before we had the Files app. They have a calendar app. Their Printer Pro app is something that I use a lot. That's a paid app. And they make a few, they have other stuff, but they make a few sort of utilities that do one thing well. And that's always something I'm excited about. So. I don't have an AirPrint printer. I'm not going to anytime soon, so Printer Pro is a great way to do that.
The thing I don't like, please.
Yes.
Is there appears to be no way of syncing Proton Mail with Spark.
Okay.
Now, Proton Mail If you want it to work on your Mac with Mac Mail, it works with Thunderbird as well. Mm-hmm. You have to use a third, because it's for people who don't know, Proton Mail is encrypted email.
Yes.
I like it for some work things. And as you can imagine, sometimes encryption is useful in journalism. So I use it. And the way to get it to work with your Mac on Mac Mail is with another application from the same company called Proton Mail Bridge. Mm-hmm. And that is the way you can get everything talking to each other. It's a pro feature with the service. I've looked in the user help forums for Spark, and there appears to be still no way of using Proton Mail and Proton Mail Bridge with Spark, which I think is a shame. Mm-hmm. So all that means is I just have to use a second mail app on my phone, which, you know, is not the end of the world, but it's a thing. It's a small mark against it, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's not looking too pretty in dark mode, although it's not awful either. But generally, my first impressions of Spark are very good, I have to say.
Yeah, it's a really nice app. I only recently started using it on my Mac. I've used it on my phone for ages. Because I really like it. It was sort of the one I settled on. I went through a few. Only one of them disappeared. I just came up against stuff I didn't like before I ended up finding the one that I actually enjoyed. So it ended up being Spark. And one of the things that I like about Spark is that if you have a number of addresses set up, like I have three or four in Spark right now, there's this, like, the first one you set up is sort of considered your syncing address. So the next time you have to set Spark up, so like when I set it up on my computer, it said like, what email address are you using? And I fed up my email address. And then when I logged in using that like primary address that I was using on my phone, all my information came through. I didn't have to set up the rest of them on my Mac. It was beautiful.
Yes, that's what happened to me.
So it's an IMAP client.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Okay. And that's what happened to me. And I have to say that was one of the big pluses, how quickly it was easy to synchronize from one device to the other. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if Father Christmas buys me a iPad, hi, Father Christmas, I can imagine that will also be easy. However, I'd actually slightly regret using the client I did as my main account. Is there a way address, to switch that?
There is not, because I asked them about that. My the email address that I used for that is going away, so I'm going to have to set everything up over again. I did email support and ask about that. Now, that was before they made a bunch of changes, like the ones I talked about that I did not like, but I know in a bunch of other under-the-hood stuff happened as well. So yeah. I might write them again and say, hey, I just wanted to find out if this was still true. And if it is, I'll let you know either way. But
yeah, because
it would be great.
Would just like to use my personal Gmail account as mm-hmm. my primary account.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting that to know. But yes, generally very, very happy with Spark. And also, to be honest, if you deleted one account and reset up something, it wouldn't take very long.
No.
So, no, I'm into it. I look forward to playing with it. And I'm sure once I've got a bit more used to it, I'll write something on it.
Yeah. That's pretty great. So for people who don't know, heads up. There are lots of ways to triage email. Get things out of your inbox if you want. And, or not, you know, if your name is John Martellaro, you just leave stuff in your inbox.
John Dickinson Martellaro.
Oh my God, not this. Right. Can we just, I know you're going to tell me off and we have to move on, Kelly, but I'm staging an intervention. John, I currently have 1,000 unread emails, so don't do as I say, not as I do. But could you please tell me why you object to Inbox Zero? If I ever imagined an Inbox Zero person, I assumed it would be you.
It takes too much effort to manage. I don't have time to contemplate where each mail should go. And then I found that when you put it into little pockets of space into folders, then it becomes segmented and it's not all in front of you at once. I like to be able to scan back a few days and find something. And as I said, you know, the search function in Apple Mail is very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I just find it a matter of efficiency.
That's why I just put it in all mail.
An article one time about a guy who said he uses it as his database, and it's just one linear large database that's searchable, and it's efficient, and you don't spend time trying to figure out where stuff needs to go.
Yeah.
And you obsess over getting to zero inbox, and you can never quite get there, and you get more and more obsessed about having a zero inbox, and it's just a waste of effort and mental energy.
I'm super not obsessed, but I will say I try to get stuff out of my inbox as much as I can. It makes it because otherwise I feel like because I needed to do something with it. If it's in my inbox is how I feel about it. So sometimes, yeah, it's my to do list. I'm not great about that. But sometimes like I need this like tomorrow or the next day. And so it stays there. Everything else just goes in all mail. Because like John said, mail searching mail, whatever client you use, is much, much easier than it used to be. So I don't really put it in a bunch of folders. There's just like, or, you know, a bunch of labels or anything. It just goes in all mail. If I know I need it, I know how I can get it back. So,
yeah. So I'm not a big labeler, but I do try and clear declutter.
Yeah.
And I'll be interested to see how Spark helps with that.
Yeah. And I, too, am very interested to see how you sort that out. And listeners, if you are using something that's not Apple Mail, or if you have some pro tip for Apple Mail, we would love to hear it. We're always on the lookout for stuff like that. And if you send something awesome our way, we will totally feature it on the site. Might even talk about it on the show. You can get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com using your email client of choice. You can also get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, or you can leave comments on the show notes. And right now I want to tell you about our sponsor. Our sponsor today is Lightstream. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans. And from them, you can get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay, which is way lower than the average of over 20% APR. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. There are no fees, no application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, and there are no prepayment penalties. You can apply right from your phone, and you might even get your money the same day you applied. And here's the thing that you really need to know. Just for my listeners, if you apply now, you get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get it is to go to lightstream.com/TDO. That's lightstream.com/TDO. You get an additional discount, lightstream.com/TDO. The disclaimer, of course, subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/TDO for more information. And we'd like to thank Lightstream for sponsoring the show today. Now, our next topic has to do with John, and specifically John's computer, and even more specifically, John's 2013 Black Cylinder Mac Pro.
Yes, which I could not get in 2013 because of limited supplies. So yes. It was the spring of 2014 before I was able to get my hands on one.
Just excuse me. I'm just going to pull out a long one and just put my feet up. I'll be back in a minute.
All right.
So it's a $3,000 computer with 16 gig of RAM and a 256 gigabyte SSD. But I have a friend at Apple who got me a 20% friends and family discount. So I paid 80% of $3,000, which is $2,400. And it's about what I would have paid for a fully loaded MacBook Pro. But it's glorious because it sits behind my 34-inch Hewlett-Packard display, which I've written about. And it just sits back there, and it's just that's a workhorse. It has a whole ton of USB 3 ports. It has a whole ton of Thunderbolt 2 ports. It's got two. It's dual-ported for Ethernet if you need it. It's powerful. It's fairly fast still as a computer, but it's getting long of tooth. And I'm guessing that the next version, and it runs Metal, so it supports Catalina. But I'm guessing that Catalina might be the last version of macOS that runs on this 2013 Mac Pro because it's 6 years old now. And so I was pondering the other day about what I'm going to do. And since I'm a display freak and I like these large Hewlett-Packard displays, I'm probably going to go with a Mac Mini. A loaded Mac Mini, though.
Of course. Woo-hoo! Because just no matter how many times I have John and Dave on the show to talk about RAM, Dave is going to continue to insist, for at least the foreseeable future, 8 gig is more than enough for most people, which is true. I agree with him on that. It just may not be enough for John. So John's going to get 64 gigabytes of RAM in his next machine.
No, it'll have 32. The iMac will have 32 gigabytes of RAM, which should do me for a while.
The iMac or the Mac Mini?
Mac Mini, I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry.
Just
you can put 64 gig in a Mac Mini, but I think I only need 32.
Well, I think you probably need 16, but yeah.
I swore I'd never buy another computer with 16 gigabytes of RAM.
Okay.
So, 16 gigabytes of RAM was what was the thing in 2013, 14, 15, but now this is 2019. And as Brian Chaffin pointed out in the morning meeting, if you're planning on running a web browser, you need more than 8 gigabytes of RAM.
Well, maybe. So, anyway.
So that's my plan.
Well, but, and well, I'm glad to know that you're going with a Mini. And the reason you're going with the Mini is because of your screen, right?
Right. I like to have my own
display. And also
because
I'm right.
Well, Charlotte is the leader here. You know, she saw the light.
So,
do you have dual screens? So, do you have dual screens connected to your Mac Mini?
I don't. I have one, and I use an app called Magnet, which splits up my screen into windows very nicely. And it's a, I don't know, it's either 24 or 27 inch my monitor, and it's a Samsung. It's a 4K monitor, and I'm very happy with it.
I could not live on 27 inches. I've tried. I failed.
I think it's better we move on. So I have, and you're going to tell me off, I do have 2 4-gigabyte memory slots at the moment.
Okay.
And it's got a 3 gigahertz, 6-core Intel Core i5 processor.
Mm-hmm. That's a solid machine.
Right. You could have bought one with an i7 processor, you know.
Yeah,
I was very happy with what it is, and so far I'm pretty happy with it. I've encountered, I have to say, a couple of memory and storage issues, mm-hmm. not many. And the reason why I was comfortable with spending less money and having less memory is because just the abundance of cloud storage I have now. I also have a terabyte hard drive. You know, the USB hard drive that is a Time Machine backup and I can use for everything, and I store loads of my photos and stuff on that.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like just what's written, the memory in the machine is not the only memory I have.
Okay.
But how big is the SSD in your Mac Mini?
It is, well, hang on. I've got 2 8-gigabyte, I've got 8 gigabytes of memory.
No, I mean
and
the
I have,
SSD.
The storage. SSD, let me have a look. Anyway, I'll have a look.
I bought my 2013 Mac Pro with 256, and I was
sorry,
a little
bit storage
concerned.
Is 251 gigabytes of flash storage.
I still have 60 gigabytes free after 6 years. So I've never encountered a problem that some people have with 256 SSD not being big enough. Of course, I have lots of external storage, but mm-hmm. I've survived quite nicely.
So I've got 251 gigabytes of storage and a terabyte USB. I have 11. Yeah, I'm slightly getting low and I may have to redo things. But I also have whatever I have of Pro Dropbox. And we discussed this at the time when I got the machine.
Yeah.
But so I think the point is that John is not getting the Mac Pro. Isn't that where we're going with this?
Not unless Brian Chaffin and Dave Hamilton buy me one.
Right.
No, it's too much computer for what I do.
Right. And also, we discussed that, well, in a way, and I think we said this when the device came out, that, like, it's a pro by name, pro by nature. Unless you're running a film studio or, you know, something like that,
right.
Recording studio, who needs a Mac Pro?
Right.
Yeah.
Of course, what if Apple had not updated the Mac Mini? And left us hanging with no headless Mac to choose from, realistically.
Yeah.
That would have been terrible.
Yes, it would.
I think Apple sort of saw that they needed to have an updated Mac Mini in the fall of 18 to prepare for this kind of situation. Thanks, mm-hmm. Apple. That was great.
Yeah, and I absolutely love my Mac Mini, and I highly recommend it, John. I'm sure you're going to soup yours up a bit more than I've souped mine up, but I haven't really struggled to do anything I want. I use it for watching a lot of video content. I use it for video editing. I obviously use it for writing and picture editing.
It brings up an interesting point that you can do everything you need to do as a writer and as a creator and as a podcaster and as a video content creator on a machine that is not maxed out. Some people get annoyed that they don't have the latest and greatest, hottest, you know, fastest machine, even though they don't know how to utilize all that power. So it's an interesting story that you're able to do all the things you do on an i5 with 8 gigabytes of RAM. That's fascinating.
Yeah, and the other thing that's interesting to me about this, like, John, I never thought about the Mac Mini update in relation to the Mac Pro. Like, we have to do this because we've got this other machine coming, and it's going to be more computer than a lot of people need. So if you need an alternative headless Mac, you know, and plus I think there's still a lot more market. I'm kind of going out on a limb here, but I still think there's a whole lot of market of that original Mac Mini market that we heard about when Steve told us about them, and how you already have a monitor, you already have a keyboard you like, you already have a mouse you like, just swap out the computer. And mm-hmm. I think there's still a whole lot of desktop users out there. And, you know, as we do more on our phones, those computers don't get upgraded quite as often, which is fine. But the next time you want to upgrade it, like, maybe you don't get all new stuff. Maybe you just swap out the tower that's under your desk for a cute little Mac Mini, and everything works better with your phone or your iPad or whatever other computing devices you have. And everything's a lot smoother that way. Like, it seems like that's probably a whole lot of market that is still available that Apple is still getting a piece of, because those machines still exist. There are still people who want desktop machines for whatever it is. And, you know, maybe they have a laptop, or maybe they just use an iPad for the stuff that they want to do when they're not at their computer. And that's all it takes.
So
sure.
For me, I have the Mac Mini, and at the moment I have a Chromebook because I wanted a cheap, chuck it in my backpack device that worked. You know, I didn't need any storage,
device.
But I could stream videos if I was out on hot, you know, somewhere. It's not a great monitor, but it's good enough to watch a few, you know, if you're just watching something quickly.
Yeah.
I wanted something that, you know, used for email, for writing, and all of that, and it's great. Mm-hmm. For me, the ideal setup, I think, would be the Mac Mini and an iPad.
Yeah.
Because not going back to John's point about dual screens, obviously, the other thing with an iPad is I could use that for sidecar as a second display.
Yes, which is glorious.
I can see that working really well.
If I had a second display, it would be a 24-inch
iPad. I'm kidding.
We know, John, but
let's start a rumor. Because John can't work on anything less than a 2-foot screen is the moral here.
John's screen is like half the size of me.
I know. Exactly.
Well, not quite.
Yeah, it's almost.
Jeff Gamet and I got on this 34-inch Hewlett Packard bandwagon a few years ago.
Yes.
And Jeff Gamet has one, too, and we both loved it. And
I was there. You should have seen his face, Charlotte. You think he's hyped up about Dickinson? Hoo boy. yeah. Yeah, mine's he has a deep, curved. Abiding love for that curved monitor. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have no words.
I know. And like, I'm over here on like a 21 inch monitor, and I'm like, no, it's cool. Like, I don't need more. I don't need to measure my screen in terms of acres. So, yeah.
It's funny when you walk into a real estate office or a tax assessor's office, and they have this little 15 inch Dell, and you think, you know, how do you do your work on a 15 inch display anymore? You know, but that's all the employer gave.
I just see John walking into places where people have computers and going, oh, who's a cute little screen? Yes, you are.
I found on my screen, splitting it in two, I can have maybe some reference and documents or some notes or some research I pulled up on one side mm-hmm. and the story I'm writing on another. And that works generally pretty well.
Yeah. And you're doing right? You have an app that does that for you.
Yes, it's called Magnet. I highly recommend it. I think it's like 99 cents or $1.99 or something in the app store is nothing.
Yeah,
and
I want to say it's like $2.
Really tidy. Yeah.
In the dock in macOS, in the dock in macOS, you can declare where each app will live.
Yep.
And so when you click on the app, if your current desktop is not showing, it'll flick over to the other desktop where that app lives. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty fast, even on a 34-inch display if you have a Mac Pro. So I don't find it a problem to just, you know, blink and switch desktops to get to the app I need.
Oh, sure.
Very good.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Hopefully some of the mail tips have helped you, and hopefully some of the Mac possibly upgrade tips have helped you. We will talk to all of you tomorrow. I'd like to thank you both for being here today. John, thanks for coming by.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Nice to be here. Bye, Charlotte.
Bye, John. Bye, John's massive screen.
Yeah, John's screen is going to have to get its own line item in the show notes now.
John Dickinson, massive screen, Martellaro.
And Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by.
I'd say it was a pleasure, but...
I think the way that goes is it's been swell, but the swelling's gone down. Isn't that what you're supposed to say?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Good one.
End the show.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.